It's time for Breaking Chain with the Men of Valor, where we will have open dialogue with our men on issues of personal, family, and more. It's Breaking Chains with the Men of Valor on YAT Radio.
God bless you. God bless you all. And good evening and welcome to the Mighty Men of Valor. It's Thursday evening. I'm Reverend Roger Williams, pastor of the Young Adults Talk Family Ministries. I'd like to welcome all of you to the broadcast tonight. And it's a wonderful day in the Lord, and we thank Him for it. Right now, in the name of Jesus, O Lord, we come giving you the honor, the glory, and the praise. We thank you for this glorious day that you've made, O Lord. We ask you to continue to bless us and keep us. Forgive us for our sins, O Lord. Father God, we ask that you bless the families and the victims of the hurricane, Irma, Harvey, Maria, that have hit countries and cities and states all over the place right now. And we also pray for those in line of Tropical Storm Nate right now. Father God, we lift these families up to you in the name of Jesus, O Lord. Father God, we ask that you bless those that are in need of a blessing tonight, that you heal those and deliver those that are in need of that deliverance and healing from the minds to the body to the soul, Father God. We ask that you touch us tonight, Father God. Let our words be pleasing to your ears, O Father God. Let the meditation of my heart be into your heart, Father God, and the words be words of you, Father God, as we just ask you all of this. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. Good evening to everybody. Thank you for turning us on. Good evening, Elder Kennedy. How are you today?
I am doing well, Pastor. How are you this evening?
I'm doing great. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Tell you, we got a lot that we could talk about tonight. Talk to Pastor Holly. We had to pray for him. He had a plumbing problem at his home tonight. Some pipes burst over there at his home. So we praying for him that they get that situation taken care of tonight. They have children in the house, so we know how that can be, plumbing and water.
Amen.
So we definitely pray for a speedy repair on that situation. He's tuning in, but he probably will not be joining us by way of phone tonight, but he is definitely listening, so we are definitely singing our prayers out for him. Pastor Gant, we're waiting on him to call. We're praying for him. We haven't heard from him, so we're definitely praying for him tonight, and everyone. And Pastor Roberson, he's praying for him while he's at work tonight at the plant. So we just have to keep our brothers and sisters uplifted in prayer and to Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. So this is Domestic Violence Month, also Breast Cancer Awareness Month. We are supposed to be wearing our purple for domestic violence and our pink for breast cancer awareness. But I tell you, cancer, period, should be something that we make aware all the time. Listen, let me say this and not be disrespectful to anyone. We have to stop getting caught up in the way society wants you to acknowledge things and bring you aware of things. Listen, majority of the people have lost someone to cancer, okay? So that's something that we should be making the rest of our family members aware of and the world aware of cancer situations. Not only that, domestic violence is something that is happening all over this world. That's something that should be discussed all the time. When there are problems going on in your relationships, we should be able to have a communication going on between the people to fix the problem before it gets to a physical problem. So we have to do better about educating and teaching our people how to overcome problems, how to deal with problems better than the way that we're dealing with them. You know, the scripture talks about a contentious woman. And the unfortunate thing, it says that as a man would rather sleep on a roof than to live in the house with a contentious woman. What does that mean? What that means is that she's like a woman scorned. She's angry. She's bitter. And instead of pointing the finger or tearing her down even more, we have to do better about communicating to find out what is it that's putting her in that state of mind, in that state of being. So we have to address the issues. See, we have to get to the root of the problem instead of just dealing with it on the surface. If you're not going to dig deep into the root to find the problem at the root of it, you know what I'm saying, you will never overcome the problem. The problem will always be there. So we have to do better about educating and teaching the people. There's a lot of times when people want things watered down and sugarcoated and done a certain way. But you know what? We have to just bring the biblical truth. We just got to be honest about it and be done with that. Colossians 3 and 19. I got a lot of scriptures that I pulled up about this. It says, husbands, love your wives and do not be harsh with them. What does that mean? Is that, guess what? I've been guilty. You know, I'm not ashamed to tell you where I was in life. I've been married before. And, you know, the thing about it is that when you have a spouse that's going through some things and you yourself are going through things, you are not going to be able to overcome those issues and work it out, because both of you are in a place where you shouldn't be. And when there's no one in between to mediate that situation, it gets worse. Okay. Counseling is there. There are therapists there. Psychiatrists are there. Doctors are there. There are people there to help these situations before they escalate and get out of hand. And we have to stop being so prideful. I guess that's a good way to say it. Swallow your pride.
That's right.
Swallow your pride. Be able to say, you know what, I was wrong. Let's do something to fix this. Hold yourself accountable. Accountability is very important in today's time. But understand what 2 Timothy 3, 1 and 8 says. Listen to it. It even starts out. It says, but understand this, that in the last days there will come times of difficulty. For people will be lovers of self, lovers of money, pride, arrogant, abusive, disobedient, ungrateful, unholy, heartless, unappeasable, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not loving God, treacherous, reckless, swollen with conceit, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having the appearance of godliness but denying his power. And the scripture says at the end of that, you need to avoid such people. It says, avoid such people. Listen, it says, among them are those who creep to households and capture weak women, burdened with sins and led astray by various passions, always learning and never able to arrive at a knowledge of truth. Just as Jannes and Jambres opposed Moses, so these men also oppose the truth, men corrupted in mind and disqualified regarding the faith. That's dangerous.
Yes,
that's a dangerous situation right there. Because they have no love for God in their hearts. So why should you allow them in your life? You know, and I'm talking to the ladies right now. I'm talking to the ladies on Mighty Men of Valor Night. If you don't have a man that's loving God and is in love with God, he ain't going to love you. He's
You're
not
right
going to love
it.
You. Because God calls him a liar. God, actually, the scripture says, how is it that you say you love me and don't love the brother who you see every day and you see me not?
Every day.
You know, so how is that possible? So we have to do better about ourselves on the word of God. And it was something because Pastor Rick was on today, and he said that the word of God is like a two-edged sword. And he said that we teach that in a different way. We teach it as if God is like a two-edged sword. And guess what? That's not what the word says. And he brought that to my attention today is because it says the word of God is like. It's not.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's like a two-edged sword. It's not a two-edged sword because the word of God only needs to come through one time. It don't have to go through and then come back, because once it come and cut you the first time, it's going to slay you, because it says it cuts all the way down to the bone and the marrow.
Ooh.
So that means that it gets all the way in there. So we have to do better. Yeah, exactly. So Elder Kennedy is something, because we need to speak to the situation on domestic violence. We need to love on the men and women that are dealing our cancer survivors. God bless you, ones that are dealing with it, because there are people not only dealing in breast cancer, but cancer in their lives. Period. In your family, it could be you, it could be a friend, but we deal with that on a daily basis. And it's something because it has a lot to do with our lifestyle. It has a lot to do with, a lot of it has to do with a lot that we eat and put in our bodies. But, you know, cancer doesn't have an age. It doesn't have color, creed, sex, none of that. It attacks everyone from the little babies to the elders. And we have to be aware of that, and we have to learn how to cope and deal and teach and educate on that. Go ahead, Elder.
You're right. Well, the thing about it is we are a people of, like you said, just pride. We don't want to let people in because we feel that it makes us weak. But there is no weak domestic violence. There is a death in domestic violence. There's no weakness in it. We need to be more open and receptive to, there are so many availabilities out there, but we have to learn that first, trust, not in people, but in ourselves. We have to first know who we are, and when these things come to us, we can't be afraid to open up our mouths and speak. It's amazing to me how we are so apt to raise our voices to our children when they do something wrong. And we know that raising our voices will either frighten them or make them shut down. But then when people do that to us, we accept it. You've got to have some sense of normalcy. You've got to know the difference between normalcy and abnormal. No way around, you know, well, he didn't mean it or she didn't mean it. And, you know, another thing about this domestic violence, we're coming up to now the 30th year. This is the 30th year that we have had different organizations and people out there raising awareness on domestic violence. But do you know that the numbers are on the rise? They peak higher now than they did in 1986. There's something wrong with it because people are silent. We say that blood pressure is a silent killer. Domestic violence is a silent and deadly. It's silent and deadly because we just get so numb to the fact that we're going through these issues and we don't want to call anybody because we don't want to let anybody in. The problem is we're killing ourselves because we accept it. We have no self-esteem. We have no confidence. We feel like people are just going to say, well, you know, she's crying wolf or he's crying wolf. But you better cry. Nothing wrong with opening up your mouth and just crying out for help. We become numb to the fact, to the point where, and no one can hear a silent cry. Pride is a number one killer, and the book of James states how God hates a prideful heart.
Amen.
We cannot let our pride supersede the help that is readily available now. Readily available. I deal with domestic violence. I deal with sexual assault. And I deal with the abnormalities of people thinking that it's normal, but I have to be very careful because, you know, confidentiality, I have that clause, so I can talk on numbers and there are certain things that I can and cannot say because I do hold myself accountable and to a high standard in confidentiality. But I tell you what, if it's something that's going to cause harm to yourself or others, I have to report because I'm a mandated reporter.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, I have that same criteria I have to follow in counseling. You know, everything is kept confidential, but when you're into a situation where it could cause harm to that person or to others, you have to report that then. It's no longer confidential. You know what I'm saying? That's right. You have to let it go to the next person.
We can't have a problem with telling people, listen, you know, don't tell me you want to tell me something and don't, I promise not to tell. I'm going to tell you now. You come to me and you tell me something, and it shows that you're in harm's way, I've got to report it.
Amen.
So if you don't want me to know and you don't want no help, you can't say anything.
Can't say anything. That's right. That's what that, that's the way that works. But, you know, I tell you, we definitely pray against domestic violence. We rebuke Satan in the name of Jesus, that if you're dealing with that situation, that you allow the Lord to come into that situation and take control of it, because you can't control it, and we need you to take order over it. Let me say something here in Romans 12, 17 through 21. It says, repay no one evil for evil, but give thought to do what is honorable in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends on you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourselves, but leave it to the wrath of God. For it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. To the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. For by so doing, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Now, when you say something like that, you hear a lot of people that wouldn't agree with that. A lot of people today's time, and this is why we have to stand up for the kingdom of God, because a lot of people are influencing people to do evil for evil, to speak against each other, to go back and repay with a vengeful thought or a vengeful process or an action, and we have to come against that. The thing about it is that the scripture talks about the scripture talks about being able to speak nice things. You know what I'm saying? And I'm gonna paraphrase this. It's easier to get bees with honey than with vinegar. You know, so we have to learn to control our tongue. This is the most dangerous part of our body, is our tongue, because you can speak life and death out the same mouth. And that's something. And before we go on, we're going to bring on Dr. Kemp, and his students are in tonight. Good evening, Dr. Kemp. How you doing, sir?
Good evening. How are you?
We're doing good. God bless you.
I have a good evening. So let her know she's ready to go.
Good evening.
Good evening.
All right. Yes, sir. How are you doing tonight?
We're doing great. How about you?
Doing good. What's the discussion tonight?
So we're actually talking about you know, what this month represents. We are in Domestic Violence and Breast Cancer Awareness Month. So right now we are touching on the issue of domestic violence.
Okay. And that is true. It's happening all over the world, not just in Baton Rouge, but it's happening all over. I almost was under domestic violence when I was a young woman, living with a guy, and we fought every weekend. So thank God that I'm a child of God and I was able to get out of that situation. You know, it's so much that's happened to me, my brother, that so many people have found it back from God. So many people think that they can do it on their own and they don't need the aid of the Holy Spirit to guide them. You know, there is a scripture that tells us in Lamentations, if my people that are called by my name humble themselves and pray and turn from their wicked ways, he said, then I will hear from heaven and I will heal the land. There's so much of chaos that's going on in the land. The land needs healing. You know, we got earthquakes, we got tornadoes, we got there's so much of destruction all over the land. The land is filling up the evil that's in the world. Some women believe that living in a domestic violence relationship is that person, that man, that woman, they love them. That's the only way they share love. But that's a lie. That's the attack of the enemy. You know, because we are children of the Most High God. We are God's chosen people. God does not want us to be in a relationship, in a marriage, whatever, where we get beat down every day. And, you know, and we're not trying to do nothing to help ourselves or pull ourselves out of that situation. God didn't create us for that. His word said that he created us for us to glorify him, to reach up to him, to serve him. Now, love, that's not love. But the first thing we have to learn is love themselves. And we love ourselves, but then we can love for my love. I don't want nobody that's going to beat me inside my head and tell me they love me. They don't love me. And I don't want to be in a relationship to live with somebody just because I'm not working on the health of this person taking care of me, but they're abusing me. That's not love. No. That's not love. That's not God who created us for the being in a relationship like that. They need to get help, get out of it, and leave it alone and move on. And pray. We have to pray. Once we start praying in this world, I mean, this entire world needs a revival. I know our churches, the entire world needs to have a revival and come back to the first love of God. The Bible tells that God loves so much that he gave his only begotten Son. And whosoever means whatever situation you're in, he don't care if you're an alcoholic, he don't care if you're on drugs or pills, whatever situation you're in, whosoever means that you can come back to him, our first love, and God's love, love that he gave us. And I hope that what I'm saying is what touch some woman, some men, even men be in abusive relationship. That it was touch and let you know I got to love myself first because I know God loved me. If he loved me, hey, that's good enough for me. And I can make it alone in my life. Did you hear me,
brother? Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. We definitely Can we get you to do us a favor though? We're getting a lot of feedback coming from your end. Can you turn your speakers off in your room right there? Because your speakers is feeding back through the system.
Okay.
So we need.
Okay.
Can you turn your speaker off? We can hear you, but turn your speakers off.
All right. Okay.
You got all the speakers in the room off. Take it. Yeah. Tell everybody to take their phones off speaker.
Okay.
All of them.
Okay,
it's all speaker.
Okay, great. So, yeah, so we heard everything that you said, and one thing about it, you said something very important, that men can be in a domestic violence relationship as well. And one thing about that is that men being in a situation like that, let me speak for me. I'm not talking about being in a domestic violence situation, but I'm going to speak on something about a man. A man is very quick to try to carry the weight of the world on his shoulders because he's a man, quote unquote. And a lot of men today were raised up at a young age having to do manly things at a young age. Instead of growing up being a boy, he had to step up to the plate and do some manly things. So when you put men thoughts into a boy's mind, he's going to carry that for the rest of his life until he's able to come into a relationship with Christ and to have Christ to transform him into what Christ wants him to be at that time. But as long as he's still out in the world growing up to be a boy with man thoughts, he's going to act as if he's a man. He's going to live as he's a man. He's going to have actions as a man, and he's still a boy. Now, I'm speaking for me because when I was growing up, my mother didn't put manly things in my mind, but the world was trying to combat against my mother and putting those things in my mind. My mom and my dad separated when I was young, but when you have that situation, mind you, my dad was still in my life, but still, when you have the world trying to pull at you, society and the devil is always trying to go after our young men anyway. So when you have that situation going on, you have to be very careful of how we train up our young men. It says when he was a boy, he did childish things. He had childish thoughts. Right. But when he became a man, he put all the childishness away. But sometimes today, there are still men with a manly age, with a manly body, but still got childish thoughts because they were not trained or educated or groomed to understand what it really means to be a man, to be a protector, to be a provider, to be a pillar of your community, to be a pillar, the priest of your home, to be the pillar and the priest in your church, and to take care of your community. So the thing about it is that a man still carries some childish things in his mind. So when he gets into a relationship, and as the scriptures say, that it's better for me to sleep on the roof than to live in the house with a contentious woman. That means that he's not able. He's not able to handle that woman, so he handles that woman in a childish manner, which brings on domestic disputes, which brings on domestic violence, because those are childish moves. That's not a manly move. Right. That's not a man to God move. That is a child's move that don't know God. So we have to educate. Yes. We have to teach. We have to bring people back to the Word of God. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was God.
That's
the Word was with God. So we have to teach them that. We have to teach the word that we study every day is the word of God. It comes out of his mouth. It just had a writer there that was writing for God. So we have to bring back the true meaning of what it means to be ambassadors of Christ and representatives of the kingdom of God. Amen.
That's right. Amen. And we also have to remember this day and age, there are so many young mothers that don't have the father or the husband in the house. Babies raising babies. That's what we're seeing. They don't know anything because they wasn't taught. So they're trying to raise their children. Sometimes the children are rearing themselves because the mother's out there working maybe two or three jobs to keep bread on the table. So the child is not knowing anything, but like you say, the streets will teach them. And a lot of kids are, the parents don't, the mothers don't bring them to church. They're not in church. They're not and anything to just go to school and come home and whatever. The television and the computers are the ones that's teaching these children about life, you know. And that is a sad situation that's happening. When I was coming up, my mother and my father was in my life. I grew up in the church. Sundays I was at church all day, Sunday, from one church to the next. That's all I knew. Was going to church. And I'm glad that they did instill that in me to, you know, that go to church because that's where I am now. You know, and I know without the Lord, I can't make it. And most people want to do things on their own. They don't want to do the Lord. But the Lord tells us, he said, for us to lean out to our own understanding, right? He said, in all our ways that we acknowledge him, that he is the only one that's going to direct our steps. I don't want to order my own steps. I want him to order from me. I want him to tell me. I want the Holy Spirit to lead and guide me to all of his righteousness. I ain't saying that I'm perfect because I know I'm not. But if I lean and depend on the Lord, I know I'm going to make it. I'm going to make it.
Amen.
You know?
Amen. That's correct. That's correct. Because he's the only one that can get you out anyway. So.
Only one. And I had to learn that as a young girl growing up in New Orleans. I was out in the streets. I didn't know that. Even though my mom them brought me to church and made me go. So, you know, when you get grown, you think you're on your own.
Amen.
But I thank God that I came back. You know, I came back to him, my first love.
Amen. And amen. And we have to do that. We have to get people to learn to do that. But we have to educate and teach them on that. And that's something that you're doing, Dr. Kemp. So chime in on this, Dr. Kemp, because one thing about it is that you are teaching and educating and feeding the word to your students. We come here through the week to feed the world. And Christ said that he couldn't return anyway until his word is preached to the four corners of the earth. Dr. Kemp, I guess I want to ask you about this. Why is it or what is it that is got people so confused about the truth? Because the truth is God's word. Why are so many people so confused about it, and what's got them this way?
Well, the truth has always bothered folks. God has left some standards, and it all started back with the time of the law. The law of the school was the schoolmaster, and it was no more than a bunch of written rules that man had to live by, the written rules. And then man living by the written rules, that no one was saved by the law. As a matter of fact, if you go back into Leviticus, you'll find out on the Day of Atonement that if you sin presumptuously, you would not be forgiven. That means if you willfully sin, but the on the Day of Atonement when the high priest went in at once a year for to make atonement for the sins of Israel, that that was just for sins that they did unknowingly, not knowingly. So when Christ came, he paid the price for us. But man, it's just against God. Man, it's just against God. It's in the garden when man fell. The Bible says it was the first, theologically, it's called the dispensation of innocence. Man was created innocent. And until the fall, then when man, that was called the dispensation of innocence. The second dispensation, when man was put out of the garden, it's what called the expulsion of the garden, where they were put out in the angel with the flaming sword. It's called the dispensation of conscience. Man was consciously of all evil, and man did all kind of evil. And God had to destroy the world because of man's evilness. But God had already had, the Bible said the Lamb was slain before the foundation of the world, meaning that God knew that he was going to have to send his son, that man wasn't going to get it right. And we're destroyed for lack of knowledge. We won't study the word of God because, you know, we want to live and do what we want to do. Yeah, I hear you talking about you was dealing with the turn on domestic violence. Oftentimes when we're married, we think that you have to just stay in the marriage because once you take the vow. But they say, well, God had put together. Oftentimes God didn't put it together. There's different in life. You have filial love, which is the love for brother or sister, but that's eros. When you see a lady that looks, we used to have this saying, look good from lipships to fingertips. And you see her and you are aroused, so it's called eros, means to be aroused. And you marry a person because you're aroused by them, and then there's agape. And so oftentimes, you know, you get unequally yoked. And then there are some people that don't know what it means to be a man. And now, if you read in Ephesians will tell you that a person, that a man say that the husband ought to love his own wife as his own body. I don't think no one would do anything purposely hit himself in the head. And when God is, then you, why would you hit your wife in the head when, you know, you're going to beat a person? My mother always told us that you can't raise a grown-up, and that the only thing that I could do is pray that God would change a person. If God don't change them, you said about that by that contentious woman, by the belly sleep on the rooftop, then the deal was one. But at the same time, to be abused could be verbal. It's verbal, and it could be physical. And, you know, the Bible, see, people don't know, but a word can kill. We have to watch. The tongue is so dangerous. Even in raising children, the tongue is dangerous. We have to really, really watch how we talk to children. We have to watch how we talk to our wives, and wives have to watch how they smart with their husband, and the husband, how they talk to the wife. Respect is given. And sometimes some folk have said respect is not given, it's earned. But the thing about it, when you go through your whole Bible and you saw all these beautiful ladies of the Bible, they were very subservient, but the man loved his wife. The Bible say that the man's going to leave his mother and father and cling to his wife, and they become one flesh. We're not becoming one flesh because we won't harm ourselves. So why would you beat a young lady, and why would a young lady do something to abuse a man, to beat him out of his money and do different things? It's because we don't know God. And, you know, earlier you were saying about why do it so hard for us to do the right thing. The Apostle Paul said the good that he would do, he found himself not doing. It's called the flesh. And even to the day, if you read in the book of 1 Corinthians, it talks about man, talking about a carnal Christian, meaning a Christian that still haven't totally found his way. It means simply mean you're a babe and you're still acting as a babe. When Paul wrote his letter to the church of 1 Corinthians, he was writing to them because although he had been there almost, that was by the second place he stayed all. He stayed a long time there. But even in his stay there, they would say the things that he taught them, they act like they hadn't did it. He say, I still have to feed you with milk. And we have so many people today that's professing to know Christ, but you have to feed them with milk. Their knowledge of God and their understanding. The Bible declares that you honor me with your mouth, but your heart is far away from me. And oftentimes we don't realize that this earth is no more than a testing ground for a future life ahead. He is literally stay on this life. God allows us to be on this earth to go through our challenges and different things that we can inherit the kingdom of God. I firmly believe that man is destroyed for lack of knowledge of the true and living God, because I'm going to give you a little story that I like to tell. It was about a guy named Pretty Willie. Pretty Willie was a pimp, and he had all kind of ladies that would be on the street. And as Pretty Willie would work the ladies and things, but he was so good. He went to church. He took them to church. He gave out food, and he did all these good things. He was always in church. So Pretty Willie died, and when he died, he just knew he was going to hell, but he didn't go to hell. He went, and he ended up at the gates of heaven and talking to Gabriel. And Gabriel said, how you doing, Willie? Come on in. And then God told Gabriel, no, tell Willie he got to go through a test. So God told Gabriel, say, Willie, God said, you got to stay a week in heaven and a week in hell, and you decide where you want to go. So Willie said, I know where I want to go. I want to go to heaven. Say, no, God said, you got to take that test. So Willie said, well, why you want to go first? Willie said, well, take me to hell first, and then I come back and I just stay in heaven. So we went to hell down there. When they went down the elevator, down, he got down there. And the door opened up. They had a disco ball going on, and the people were partying. He seen some of the ladies, his friend and ladies worked for him, and they were having a party. So Willie was down there. They were drinking and getting high and partying. So after the week was over with, Willie had to go to heaven. So Willie went back up, and Willie had enjoyed himself down there. And Willie got up there, and then he floated around on the cloud eating milk and honey. And then after that, they say, Willie, where you want to go? And Willie told them, say, I hate to tell you, Gabriel, I want to go to hell. And so Gabriel said, okay, well, he went down. So the elevator went down, and it got off. And when the elevator opened up, it wasn't no red carpet. It was people screaming, howling, burning up cars, feces, smelling bad, and people screaming and howling. And Willie told them, say, hey, you must be stopped on the wrong floor. This is not the floor I went on. And he told Willie, oh, the other floor was the recruiting floor. And what I'm trying to say, see, this earth is the recruiting floor for Satan. He make all this sexual perversion looks good. He make us think that when we live on our own, it's better than living for the Lord. It's just a recruiting floor for Satan right here. This is his stage. This world is Satan is the prince of the air. This is his recruiting stage, just like Willie was fooled by what he saw. Satan make things look good, make partying and getting high and messing with all these different young ladies. It makes it look good. The rappers, all the money and all these things, they make it look good. But then they say the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. And things in we have to, if we're going to meet people, let's go to young ladies. Don't meet a person that you're unequally yoked with. You need to get to know a person and make sure that person is not abusive. Abusive relationship, whether you're married or not, you shouldn't be in it, because if a man really loves God, he's supposed to treat you like he treats his own body, and a man's supposed to love his own self. You know, and, you know, how can two walk together unless they agree? And if you're in agreement with God, that person needs to be in agreement with God. And so Reverend William.
Yes, sir.
It's incumbent upon us to know who we're dealing with. And it's incumbent upon us to really teach the word of God. For some reason, the church has went into entertainment.
My God.
And we're not really teaching the word of God. It's really in a, it's a form of entertainment. And you know how they say it's a form of godliness? It's a form of godliness, but it's not teaching the power of God. And we have to get away from the entertainment. And this is specifically in African-American church and the white church, in the Catholic church. You know, you have your statues and things, and they tell you they don't bow down to no graven images. But in our church today, we have a lot of music and dancing and everything else. And it takes away from the word of God. The Bible says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing the word of God.
Okay. Amen.
It says, my word is spirit and truth.
Yes.
And you know, he said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Say, come learn of me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light. I'm not asking much of you. And I just think that if we can get people to listen at the word of God, the uncompromised word of God. I'm not calling you to tell you you're going to get rich, but I'm calling you to tell you I know the man that owns everything.
Amen.
You know, I want to let you know, I don't want to let you know I know the man. I know who could do anything but fail for me.
Yeah.
It's ignorance to the word of God. That's what I really believe in, and things, and that we are going by the wrong type of love. Evander Nelson was talking about it. We caught up in eros. It's called eros love, from the Greek term arise from the word to arouse. And it's not that true love that you have where you treat a person the way you want to be treated. If they don't listen at you, you're going to beat them down. You know, that's your helpmeet, not your slave. That's your helpmeet.
That's right. Amen.
And my mother have always raised us with, if you can't get along with them, you go your separate way. You never raise your hand for a lady, and a lady should never raise her hand for a man.
Amen. Amen.
It's always supposed to be, I'm a firm believer, it's communication.
That's right.
And
that's right.
If I could say something in counseling, in spiritual counseling, biblical counseling, it's a term that you use, you learn to agree to disagree. In other words, everything I say may not be right, and everything you might say may not be right, but I won't be angry because you disagree with me.
That's right.
Amen. I have Elder Stewart on the other line, and I think you may see the line lit up. Another student from the school, Elder Stewart, Kenneth Stewart, is on the other line.
Okay.
He wanted to chime in.
We'll get him in a minute. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll come back.
Okay.
Just tell them to stand by. Elder Stewart, we'll be back with you. We're going to take a break. When we come back, we want to hear from Pastor Robeson. He's checking in with us before he has to get away from us. And we'll be back in just a few minutes. You're listening to Break Your Chains with the Mighty Men of Valor. It's a Thursday night. This is YAT Radio. God bless you. Hang on. We'll be right back.
You did not create me to worry. You did not create me to fear, but you created me to worship daily. So I'ma leave it all right here. Help me say it. Yeah. Make me. not create me to fear, but you created me to worship daily. So I'ma leave it all right here. Trust in, oh, trust in you.
I got to tell you, man, that's one of my favorite songs out here, because that guy, Anthony Brown in Group Therapy, that song says, I will put all my trust in the Lord. No matter the situation, I'm going to put all my trust in him. No matter what I'm going through, I'm going to put all my trust in the Lord. No matter how it looks, I'm going to put all my trust in the Lord. No matter my finances, I'm going to trust in the Lord. My. How you doing out there? Welcome back to Breaking Chains with the Mighty Men of Valley. It's Thursday night, and we're having a great time in the Lord. We're going to bring on Pastor Tracy Roberson. He's going to join us for a few minutes. Pastor, come on and chime in with us tonight and drop us a nice, strong nugget that you always drop. And we want you to go and get rested up, brother. We know you're just getting all work, so we appreciate you calling in and being a part of us tonight. Good evening to you, Pastor Roberson.
God bless, and good evening to everyone. Thank God for being on here tonight. And I was just listening earlier to what the young man was talking about. I call a young man. I always greet everybody as a young man, because you're always as young as you think you are.
Amen.
So we had to put that mindset in. So age is just a number, but if you start thinking old, then you start feeling old. So I always think
That's
I'm
right.
young. So I always feel young. And so we're just grateful to the Lord for just being here tonight, and just having the time to listen, and also just to be encouraged. I like what the young man was saying as far as the respect and how to respect one another, and one of the things that we have to understand that the enemy is really to try to destroy the unity that we do have. In the earth realm. So one of the things that he's trying to do is destroy unity in the family. He's trying to destroy unity in the church hole, wherever he can destroy unity, because the Bible says when he sees the unity, then he will command his blessings. So he's trying to destroy what we have as fellowship, even this fellowship. There's a unity that you have started, Pastor Roderick. And so wherever the way the enemy can try to dismantle this unity that we have come together in fellowship in the Lord, he tries to break that up. But we have to bind that spirit up, because the Bible said, whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, whatsoever you loose on earth shall be loosed in heaven.
Amen.
So we just have to continue to bind up that kind of spirit. And the enemy now, like I said, with the unity of the church and everything else that's going on, I say this more now, and I said that this morning. I was at Metro Prison this morning, preaching to the guys down there this morning. And I say it's amazing to me that God has given us so much grace, so much mercy, given us time to get things together, get it right on this side, getting in preparation for his coming. Because I believe this, Pastor Roger, now more than ever, if we don't believe that the Lord is coming soon, and soon, as the old church song you say, soon or very soon he's coming, that the Lord is coming. And you can see the handwriting on the wall with all the things that's going on, with all the things that the enemy is trying to do to get people to turn away from God. And he's getting into the mind of people. We have to be ready. And I say that is that saying this is that it's not getting ready that we ought to be doing. We ought to be ready. Because the Bible declares that the Lord is coming as a twinkling of an eye. So we have to be ready as not only as a church body, but getting people to be ready when he comes. So we have to continue to preach the gospel, continue to do what you're doing. And that's one of the things that I enjoy because of this, because we never know who we're affecting. We never know who we're reaching out to. We just want to save lives, because when that time comes, that it's no more that you can say, okay, Lord, well, I want to give my life to you now. It's over with. So we have to make sure that we're ready and we're getting people in preparation. If you look at what's going on and look at what's going on in the world, look at all these storms that's going on, and the Lord showed me this in the spirit, that we can get ready for a storm, but are we getting ready for Jesus' return?
All right, and all right. Now.
That's one of the things that we ain't looking at now. We get ready. Now, here's the thing. Look at it from a natural standpoint. We have time enough to get ready for Tropical Storm Nate, for Harvey and all them other storms that came. We had time to get ready for that. But are we getting ready for Jesus' return? And by getting ready, that means we got to change our mindset, change our garments, change the way that we think, change the way that we treat people, change the way that we do things. Because that's the only way that we're going to get into the kingdom. And the Bible says, unless you have been born again, you won't even see the kingdom of God. So we got to get people to get ready. Get ready now. Don't say I'm going to get ready next week. I'm going to wait till tomorrow. But get ready right now. Because when that storm, when that storm Jesus comes, it's too late, bro.
Amen.
It's too late. You know, So we want to make sure people are getting ready for the great coming, which is Jesus Christ. And that's one of the things, you know, I just wanted to lay that, you know, into our hearts, because I seen that in my spirit, you know, when the other hurricanes came. And I said, and I was telling my wife, I said, you know, we get ready for these storms, but what are we doing getting ready for Jesus when he comes? Now, we got to look at it always from the spiritual standpoint.
Amen.
It's always spiritual first, then natural. And we react to the things that's going on in the natural quicker than what we will from the spiritual standpoint, and it ought to be vice versa.
That's right, amen.
Now start turning things around and say, what are you doing to get ready for the storm? Are you, as they say, is your house in order? Do you have your things in order? Because, you know, I want to make sure, you know, when people, what they do, Pastor Wright, when the storm, they want to make sure their life insurance together. They want
right.
to make sure their insurance policy up to date. We need to make sure we got our insurance policy, our eternal life insurance policy.
Come on,
up to date with God.
Amen.
We need to make sure we're right with God, and getting right with God now versus waiting. Man, who will wait till the storm hit and then say I'm gonna go to the store? Man, that don't make sense.
Amen.
So it doesn't make sense naturally. So why does it make sense in the physical? I mean, in the spiritual. We got to get people ready. And that's, you know, like I said, I just wanted to pass it on to you, man. It's been bubbling in me, and I shared that with the young guys down at the Metro today, and man, it just blessed them, it blessed us, and you know, I just want to continue to get that in our spiritual ear. The Bible says, "He that has ear to hear, let him hear." Hear what the Lord has to say. What are we hearing from the Lord? We seeing this from the natural standpoint. What are we doing in the spiritual standpoint? Because he's coming. Look at all the confusion that's going on in the United
States.
That's right. Look at all the things that's going on with all the shootings in Las Vegas, the shooting that's going on across. Man, you cannot say that the Lord is in preparation to come back. You can't say that. We know he comes back.
Amen.
And probably sooner than later. Because
at some
point he's going to say, enough is enough. And he's already got that assigned time. But I just believe, man, that we have we see the times coming, but what are we doing getting ready for that actual time when he does come? And
Amen.
It's going to be too late. It would be sad to say it will be too late that when he comes that we're not ready. I just want us to be ready. So what you're doing, Pastor Rice, I commend you, and I keep praying for you, because I always say, when I sent you that text message, I said you have that voice that breaks the atmosphere, that reaches thousands, that reaches millions of people across the United States, across the world, to touch their lives, to draw them closer unto Christ. That voice is going to draw you, or it's going to draw you away from him. But I think you have that drawing voice in you to do what you're doing. That's why God has anointed you to do what you have done.
Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, Pastor. God bless you. That's
y'all got me started, man. I was a little sleeping, but you know, It don't take a whole lot to wake this babe up. So when you got it in you, you just got it in you.
It's in you. That's right. That's right.
Yeah. So we're so grateful, and we're grateful to listen, and I continue to listen. And God bless. We love you, and we're praying for y'all. All right.
God bless you, Pastor. We love you too. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and all of his righteousness, and all else will be added unto you. My God, my God. Okay, all right. Dr. Kemp, we're ready for y'all out there in Baton Rouge. Come on, check in.
Good evening. How you doing?
God bless you, sir.
God bless you. This is Elder Stewart and Dr. Kemp and the class of Dr. Kemp at University United Theological College. You know, I think I heard y'all talking about domestic violence. You know, and I find that it's not always just a physical, but also it's mental also. And I find that mentally, a lot of times, does worse than the physical because it stays with you longer. But the main thing is the Bible tells us that charity begins at home, then it spreads abroad. So what I find is that a lot of times within the domestic violence is because they have seen the weakness within their family. But we as Christians must be mentors. You know, we need to and it's not me. That's why the Bible tells us to train a child in which to go. So when he is old, we're not departing from him. So we need to start training our children, our little ones, like that, you know, how to love and treat the wife or how to treat the husband. You know? And remember, if we train them while they're young, by putting that down, you know, then a lot of times that wouldn't be so much violence because what they're doing is seeing what happened at home. Because if you look at the child, he's going to mimic mama or dad. You know, if mom's cooking, then they want to cook. If the dad is sitting drinking coffee, then he's going to want to sit and drink coffee. So it is the way that we train them up. If they see them abusing their mother or their father in a profane language that they use to one another, then you just don't let the child see. We must train them up in a way that they should go so when they're old, they will not depart from them. And then we must be mentors because if we look around, people are watching us or reading us more than they read the Bible. So we, and that's why the Bible loves us also, he's a living epistle. So we should be living epistle also. We should live the life that other folks may see Christ in us. Let Christ illuminate through us. Let his spirit, let his shine through us. That way we can set the example. The Bible also tells us that the devil come to kill, steal, and destroy. But Jesus said, I come that you may have life and life is more abundant. God wants to have joy in life. He wants to love one another. I heard Dr. Kim talking about the agape love and the philo love and all that. But God wants to have that true love for one another. So when we love our wife as we love ourselves, then we'll treat them like we'll love them better. When we
hello? Did we lose him?
Yeah. Hello?
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 Hey, Elder, that you?
Yes, sir, this is me.
I think we lost him. Wonderful conversation tonight. Awesome conversation. So I think that we did lose them just then. So I think that we got them coming back here. So let's make sure. You're back on. I think we lost your connection there.
Yeah. This is Dr. Kemp. He's about to call back in now. For some reason, the connection, lost connection. I don't know if it's something on the air here in Baton Rouge. What's going on? I was hearing the pastor on earlier. He was talking about the things that's going to come. A lot has to happen before the world comes to an end. They have to build a temple, has to be built back in Jerusalem. right now, the Muslims have the Dome of the Rock on part of it, so it's going to be a big time war to get the land back to build a temple. They have to have the ashes of the Red Heifer. They have to find the Ark of the Covenant with the manna and the two tablets of stone written on both sides. I mean,
that's
a totality thing to come. It's so much has to be fulfilled. But you know, the Bible says in the 24th chapter of the book of Matthew, it talks about wars and rumors of war and all kind of things to come. But he gave the best analogy. He told us about, you know, when he was saying about he's coming, when he gave about the 10 virgins, the 5 wild and the 5 foolish. But
right.
They say he came at midnight. And those that wasn't ready, he took those who were prepared. So
amen.
Be prepared.
Amen.
Are you ready, Elder Stewart? Are you ready?
No.
Okay, he's dialing now. Okay, he'll be, yeah. But, you know, we have to be really ready. We really have to be ready, prepared at all times. We have to be like watching, just waiting in and waiting for the Lord to come. But we have to be prepared, too, for when he do come.
That's right.
At all times. Yeah, we have to be prepared for it, so. I think he should be in now. You should have
the
number coming in.
Yeah,
okay.
Hello.
Okay, all right. Okay, I'm going to let him speak with you. Okay.
Yes, sir.
Okay. Yes, sir. And as I was saying earlier, we got to be mentors.
Amen.
You know, and when we be mentors, not just for our mm-hmm. own family, but for everyone, because, you know, even you take a little child just watching you, and you can mentor them, and they see. You know, that's a lot of times people can't hear what they're saying, hear what you're saying by seeing what you do. So we got to set the example for everyone. And we stand when we stand on the word of God, then we stand as something. You know what I mean? We just not gonna fall for anything. And true, we don't have all these wars and rumors or whatever. The Bible speaks of that, but he said this is only the beginning of sorrow. You know, it's all these stuff must come and happen. You know, but the thing is, the main thing is that we must know Christ. That's what we have to do. We have to know Christ within our heart. You see, when we get Christ within our heart, then our mind change, our desire change, the way we walk and the way we talk. You know, he make a new creature. That's what Paul said, I become a new creature. The old things don't pass away. Behold, all things come new. I have a new desire. I have a new walk. I have a new talk. You know, the text that I used to go, I don't want to go that way no more. You know, I learned to love my wife like she should be loved, you know, like Christ loved the church, and she learned to love me also. So love is the main key, because Jesus is love. The Bible said that for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. So if we learn to love, it will conquer all the other stuff. So I just want to just share those few lines of word with you that is all about love. When we really truly instead of present our Lord is safe, then our walk will change, our desire will change, our attitude will change, our disposition about everything will change, and we'll begin to love everybody and let them
amen.
Love Christ.
Amen. God bless you, sir. Love does cover a multitude of sins. That's what the word tells us. Yes, indeed. Wow, we're having an awesome night tonight. You know, the lines are open. Elder Kennedy, no, you're still there, so we want to hear from you right now.
I tell you, I have heard everything, and it's been such a blessing just to get feedback from such powerful men and women of God. And all I can say is let's just keep doing the will of God and planting into the souls of others so that they can, too, see the work of the cross and come running and asking, what must I do to be saved? It's all about our Father's business. And as long as we continue to stay on God's plan, then everything will be all right. Amen. Hello?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, I'm
amen.
Sorry.
No, yeah, you okay. I tell you, we have to continue on the path that we are on. making sure that we get the word of God out, making sure that people are in full understanding about what we are doing and the purpose and the reason of why we're doing it. It's something that, we've been talking about a lot of different things. I'm going to read it because I know it by heart, but I want to read it, and I'm going to read this from the New International Version. Psalms 23, the Lord is my shepherd. It says, I lack nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He refreshes my soul. He guides me along the right path for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the darkest valleys, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and love will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. So as long as the Lord is my shepherd, I definitely lack nothing and I shall not want, because he's going to provide everything that we need. It says that he supplies all our needs. He takes us where he wants us to go. But yea, though we still walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we still choose our own way. We still want to make our own decisions without God even being put in the equation. So there's a lot of disdain going on in the earth today, but we have to continue to pray. The effectual fervent prayer of the righteous avails much. The scripture tells us to pray without ceasing. People will tell you that prayer does not do anything. Prayer does not change anything. Prayer doesn't mean anything. But I beg to differ. The devil is a lie. Prayer does change things. Prayer is ultimate to reach God. If you don't pray, you can't talk to God. How can God hear you? God knows all of the things that you need. He knows everything that you're going through. He knows your wants. He knows your needs. He knows your thoughts. He knows your feelings. He knows everything. How can a God that's everywhere at the same time not know everything? He is all-knowing God. We don't know everything. We're still in the process of learning things, not everything, just things. You are in a place in your life right now where you may not know the answer to a situation that you are dealing with. But, oh, my God, all you have to do is call on the Lord, and he will be right there. He says that he will never leave nor forsake you. He will always be there. So we have to continue to teach. We have to continue to bring God's understanding to people, because we don't know it all. We don't have it all. But he places us here to educate, to teach, and to preach the gospel to the people. And we have to stay on our post. We have to continue to do our job and our ordained duties. And we have to make sure that we don't get out of whack with it, that we stay on point with it. And we don't let the devil come in. Because one thing, it says that we should always, always go to one another in prayer. You know, we should talk to our brothers about our issues and pray about it. We don't do that no more. We don't want to do those things. We too stuck in pride. We too stuck in arrogance and boastfulness. We are stuck in areas in our lives where we should not be. But in the name of Jesus, we have to cast those spirits back down in the pits of hell where they belong. You got to be stopping to be afraid to stand up for what is righteousness in God's eyes, and stop standing up for the wickedness in the devil's eyes. He wants you to be wicked. He wants you to go against one another. He wants you to turn this off. He wants you to go somewhere else. You know, and it's something, because we have to stand firm and strong in the Lord and continue to move forward in what God has us to do. Amen. Is there anyone who would like to share anything before we get out of here tonight and sign off?
Yes. Reverend Wade, this is Reverend Kim.
Yes, sir.
From United Theological Seminary. I sat and listened at how you so eloquently put those words together, and it truly was words from God. You talked about the 23rd, and in talking and speaking about the 23rd Psalm, if you read the 23rd Psalm, it's David. I like to say that the 23rd Psalm should be titled, It's a Personal Thing. Talking about one's personal relationship with God, in the 23rd Psalm, there are 17 pronouns, first person singular, I, me, and my, 17 times. And what David was saying, what God meant to him, but he was addressing to us that God is our everything, that the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. And he said, I shall not. He's my shepherd, not yes, their sir. Shepherd, but he
Come
said,
on.
My shepherd. You know, say, my God, my God. Yes. He said, I my shall God. Not want. He's making me to lie down. Not, and he's saying that God causes him to lie down in green, luscious pastures.
Yes,
and he said, he lead me beside still a calm water.
Yes.
You know, no rushing water is scary because you could get taken away, but he said he restored my soul. Sometimes
yeah.
we get beat down, but God is a refresher and an insurer and an usurer.
Come
and
on.
He talks about he leaded me in the path of righteousness. I can't say, you know, I love what Joshua said, as for me in my house.
Yes, sir.
I can't tell other folk what to do in their house, but I can sure say what my house has to do.
Come
As
on.
For me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. And he said in the pastor writing, for his name's sake. And then he said, yea, though I walk through the valley in the shadow of death. He
yeah.
said that I'm going to walk through the valley and the shadow of death. He said that I'm going to go through the vicissitudes of life, but I'm not going to stop in it. I'm going to have my ups and downs, but I'm not going to stop in the valley.
Yes,
he
sir.
Said, yea, do I walk through it. He said, I wasn't going to sit down in the valley, but I'm going to pass through it.
Yeah.
And then when I'm passing through those low times, he say, I will fear no evil. And why
yeah.
I don't fear evil? Because he said, you with me. You just say you never leave me, nor you forsake me.
Come
I'm
on,
more
man.
Than a conqueror through Christ who strengthens me. And he
yes,
said,
sir.
For your rod and your staff, they comfort me. In other words, they protect me, provision,
yes,
protection. And he talks about what God means to him. He says, walk through the valley and shall I will fear no evil, for you are with me, your rod and your staff. He had a club to beat off the evil animals and the wicked animals, and the staff was to reach down in crevices. You know, the staff have the little curved hook. That's when the animal gets hooked down in the topography was rocky, and when it gets hooked down in there, they hook them and pull them back in.
Pull them back up, that's right.
And he said, yeah, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. And then he talks about, you prepare a table for me. And then he said, you will make a table for me, but what? In the presence of my enemy, you anointed my head with oil. My cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. I, me, and my 17 times, first person singular, pronoun, first person singular, I, me, and my. People were saying, how was God really meant to him? God was his everything, and in order for us to God to be our everything, we have to have that personal relationship with God, and that's only through, like you said, prayer. Prayer, that's how it, prayer is communication with God.
Yes, sir.
Prayer changes situation and things. See, I want to let the hearers, those who are listening tonight understand that God have no eyes but your eyes. He have no hands but your hands. He have no mouth but your mouth.
Come on.
No feet but your feet. No hands but your hands. See, God uses our eyes to look out and have compassion on a dying world. He has used our mouth to speak his word. We're speaking the word of God. We are ambassadors. We are representatives of God in a fallen world. Hands to go out and do different jobs to help the needy. That we walk around and we minister to people. We visit hospitals, we visit prisons, and we go minister
yes.
to them. We even help them with finances. God uses us. God is not going to come to the world, but he worked through the church, and you are the church. The people
Amen.
Are the church. One law, one faith, and one baptized temple. And we've all been baptized into one body. That there's no such thing as race. There's only one race, and that's the human race.
Amen.
And God created us all in his image. Pastor,
yes.
God is good. And God is
yes,
good.
Is.
And we need to learn to train up our children while they're young and train them in the fear and admonition of God.
Amen.
And if they only teach them the Bible as narrative, as stories, and let them know these are true stories. And I've learned this. I've been teaching seminary since 1992. But I learned that if a person learned the Bible as stories, because if you go back to elementary school, you remember stories that you heard in elementary school. You go to the movie theater, you could record every word from a movie almost verbatim.
Come on, man.
If you learn to understand the Bible in that context, and you can learn it, and then you have someone to help you with it, because iron sharpens iron. As I said,
amen.
And I listened to so many people tonight share, you know, I learned all the different degrees I do have, but I still learn from people just by listening, because iron sharpens iron.
Amen.
And that's what we're here to do. We're here to sharpen one another.
Yes, sir.
And to bear one another burden, Pastor. So I know it's the time is running out, but God bless you, and it's always a pleasure with a double measure to share with you from the Word of God from United Theological Bible College and Seminary in Baton Rouge, Louisiana.
My. And we love having you, Dr. Kim. Matter of fact, if you can just hang on for a moment, we would love for you to offer the closing prayer in just a few minutes. We're going to sign off. Is there anyone else that would like to say anything before I turn it over to Elder Kennedy? Is anyone else?
Pastor Holly. He's able to chime in for a second.
God bless you, Pastor Holly. Go ahead, sir.
Good evening to everyone. I've been hearing bits and pieces of what's being said tonight. I think it was Robeson and others touched on the church. And then the pastor that just finished was kind of put the nail in the coffin. And it takes me back to actually getting ready to start a series of teaching at our church out of the book of Revelation, where the Lord is dealing with the churches. It says, he that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit of the Lord is saying to the church. And the Lord is speaking to the church in this season, and he's dealing with the church in a way to try to get us to realize our shortcomings, and not so much as focus on our shortcomings, but focus on him, because he's the one that can help us overcome that which we're going through. And so as I heard someone talk about love, Christ is all about love, and the only way we're going to answer the call or respond to the call, I think somebody mentioned it, we've got to have love one for another. We've got to go back to the burden of one another. We've got to stop saying it ain't my problem. And he just said, you know, we're God's eyes, we're God's ears, we're God's feet. And so many people miss that, because he said, when I was hungry, you fed me. When I was thirsty, you gave me something to drink. And then he flipped the script and he said, you know, when did we not know, or when did we know when it was you? He said, well, when I was this, you didn't do that. And we're too busy trying to catch the glamour or catch the spotlight. And it goes back to the man laid at the pool of Bethesda. All the church folks passed by going to the temple, rushing to get to the house, but overlooking the work. And I often say, we're trying to get to a place, or trying to get to heaven, rushing to get to heaven, overlooking the work of the kingdom. So we've got to go back to being kingdom minded if we're going to be able to answer the call that is placed on our lives in this season that we're in. And again, I want to commend Pastor Roger and others that are on here doing what you're doing in your respective places. The community needs us. I heard a preacher say at a funeral the other day, he said heaven is a prepared place for prepared people. And he said, hell is a prepared place for unprepared people. So we don't want to get done.
Yeah.
Big call comes back. Because to be ready as he's coming back tomorrow. So Pastor Roger, keep doing what you're doing. And everyone, be encouraged in the Lord. Keep doing what you're doing. Stay with the Lord. Because at the end of the day, that's the only thing gonna stand.
Amen. Amen. God bless you, Pastor. We love you, sir.
Amen. God bless you. Love you. Thank you once again for the opportunity to be a part of this. It does encourage me and keeps me on my toes. So once again, thank all of you for allowing me this opportunity, this privilege to be a part of this radio broadcast.
Yes, sir. God bless you. Elder Kennedy.
Yes, sir.
Any final words, ma'am, before Dr. Kim closes out?
I think that the one thing that I want to say is I was looking at these lyrics to wake up everybody.
It's time for us to take a stand
on God's word. No more sleeping in the bed. No more backward thinking ahead. It is time for us to wake up, to take a stand, to join United, stand on God's word, not on man's word, because man doesn't have no heaven or hell to put us in, but it's time for us to stand up and to stop sleeping in bed.
It is time, and the time is now.
We keep talking about how the storms are taking people out and how killings are coming, but it's time for us to stop being silent and to stand up and to stand firm on God's word.
That's right.
Yeah.
Amen.
God bless you, Elder. Well, that's our closing song tonight. So yeah, I was just gonna say,
I know you're gonna close out with that song.
Yes, sir. I am. Amen. Well, God bless everyone. We thank you for coming on tonight. We send you all of our love from out of here in Mobile, Alabama. God bless you. We love you. We look forward to doing more work for the Lord, being his hands, his feet, his eyes, his ears, and just doing all of his work, being used as a vessel to serve his people. Jesus said he didn't come here to be served. He came to serve. So if we are being Christ-like, we are here to serve his people and to educate teach them. The scripture does say, my people perish for the lack of knowledge, because they reject the knowledge. And since you reject the knowledge, your children shall suffer. Our children are suffering. The people are suffering. We have to get back to educating and teaching the people the word of God. The word of God will be here forever. After we leave here, it's there. Heaven and earth will pass away, but the word of God will be for eternal life. So let's continue to do what we're doing and educating the people and feeding them and keep moving. Now, Jesus said his people, his sheep know his voice. So he is speaking through us, and we have to continue to do the work. God bless you all. Pastor Kemp, can you pray us out, sir?
Father in heaven, we come in the Lord, name of Jesus. Father in heaven, we come thanking you, Lord God, for everything that was said, the testimonies that were given, and those words from the mighty men of valor and our queens of valor, our women of God that came and shared from their heart and shared from the word of God tonight. Bless them, Lord. Bless the listeners, Lord. And we pray that it was something said, something done that gave you more knowledge of God's holy word. And we pray that something was said, moved on the spirits of those who all around this country and outside the country that listen in on this podcast. Lord, we thank you. Thank you for the word of God. Thank you for the men and women of God as their word went forth. Thank you, Lord, for Reverend Brother Roderick Williams as he continue with his show. Give him the strength, the ability to continue to broadcast your word. Give him the spiritual illumination and guidance. Give him a way he's torn down and strengthening ways weak, Lord. Lead and guide him in the way that you would have him to go. And keep him calling your name out to a dying world, that every man, woman, boy, and girl will hear your word through him and through those who share with him. Lord, we thank you. We thank you for this program, and we thank you for its continued success. In the mighty name of Jesus, we pray and for his sake. And the men and women of God said, amen.
Amen. God bless you all, and all of my love to you. Good night.
God bless you. God bless you.
knows who's coming up, and the world is in their hands. When you teach the children, teach them the very best you can.
You've been listening to Breaking Chain with the Men of Valor on YAT Radio.
Tune in next week, same time.
Go to our website,
blogtalkradio.com/YAT Radio,
or call in 858-357-9137.
It's Breaking Chain, YAT Radio, where we leave a mark that can't be erased by breaking the chains of silence.
Thanks for turning us on this evening. Just know we are here to assist you in recovering your light from back from the darkness. Speak the Truth with Young Adults Talk Live, a ministry for the people of God. So let's join together and recover what's ours. God bless you from the Young Adults Talk family.